Security by Poole Anderson. It had been a tough day at the lab, one of those days when nothing seems able to go right. And, of course, it had been precisely the day Hammond, the efficiency inspector, would choose to stick his nose in. Another mark in his little notebook, and enough marks like that meant a D-rating, and Control had a habit of sending D-rated lab men to Venus. That wasn't a criminal punishment, but it amounted to the same thing. Alan Lancaster had no fear of it himself. The sector chief of a project was under direct Control jurisdiction rather than efficiency, and Control was friendly to him. But he'd hate to see young Rogers get it. The boy had been married only a week now. To top the day off, a report had come to Lancaster's desk from Sector 7 of the project. Security had finally cleared it for general transmission to sector chiefs, and it was the complete design of an electronic valve on which some of the best men in Lancaster's own division, Sector 13, had been sweating for 6 months. There went half a year's work down the drain, all for nothing, and Lancaster would have that much less to show at the next project reckoning. He had cursed for several minutes straight, drawing the admiring glances of his assistants. It was safe enough for a high-ranking lab man to gripe about security. In fact, it was more or less expected. Scientists had their privileges. One of these was a private three-room apartment. Another was an extra liquor ration. Tonight, as he came home, Lancaster decided to make a dent in the latter. He'd eaten at the commissary as usual, but hadn't stayed to talk. All the way home in the tube, he'd been thinking of that whiskey and soda. Now it sparkled gently in his glass, and he sighed, letting a smile crease his lean, homely face. He was a tall man, a little stooped, his clothes, uniform and mufti alike, perpetually rumpled. Solitary by nature, he was still unmarried in spite of the bachelor tax, and had only one son. The boy was 10 years old now. Must be in the youth guard. Lancaster wasn't sure, never having seen him. It was dark outside his windows, but a glow above the walls across the skyway told of the city pulsing and murmuring beyond. He liked the quiet of his evenings alone, and had withstood a good deal of personal and official pressure to serve in various patriotic organizations. "Damn it," he had explained, "I'm not doing routine work. I'm on a project, and I need relaxation of my own choosing." He selected a tape from his library. Eine kleine Nachtmusik lilted joyously about him as he found a chair and sat down. Control hadn't gotten around to making approved lists of music yet, though you'd surely never hear Mozart in a public place. Lancaster got a cigar from the humidor and collapsed his long, gaunt body across chair and hassock. Smoke, whiskey, good music. They washed his mind clean of worry and frustration. He drifted off in a mist of unformed dreams. Yes, it wasn't such a bad world. The mail tube went ping, and he opened his eyes, swearing. For a moment he was tempted to let the pneumo roll lie where it fell, but habit was too strong. He grumbled his way over to the basket and took it out. The stamp across it jerked his mind to wakefulness. Official, secret, for addressee only. And a security seal. After a moment, he swallowed his thumping heart. It couldn't be serious. Not as far as he personally was concerned, anyway. If that had been the case, a squad of monitors would have been at the door. Not this message tube. He broke the seal and unfolded the flimsy with elaborate care. Slowly, he scanned it. Underneath the official letterhead, the words were curt. This is a matter of urgency, and is top secret. Destroy this letter and the tube containing it. Tomorrow, 15 June, at 21:30 hours, you will go to the Observatory, a nightclub at 5730 Victory Street, and ask the head waiter for a Mr. Berg. You will assume that he is an old friend of yours, and that this is a social evening. The usual penalties are invoked for failure to comply. There was no signature. Lancaster stood for a moment, trying to imagine what this might be. There was a brief chill of sweat on his skin. Then he suppressed his emotions. He had nothing to fear. His record was clean, and he wasn't being arrested. His mind wandered off rebelliously on something that had occurred to him before. Admittedly, the new phonetic orthography was more efficient than the old, if less aesthetic, but since little of the earlier literature was being reissued in modern spelling, not too many books had actually been condemned as subversive. Only a few works on history, politics, philosophy, and the like, together with some scientific texts restricted for security reasons. But one by one, the great old writings were sent to forgetfulness. Well, these were critical times. There wasn't material and energy to spare for irrelevant details. No doubt when complete peace was achieved, there would be a renaissance. Meanwhile, he, Lancaster, had his Euripides and Goethe, and whatever else he liked, or knew where to borrow it. As for this message, they must want him for something big. Maybe something really interesting. Nevertheless, his evening was ruined. The observatory was like most approved recreation spots, large and raucous, selling unrationed food and drink and amusement at uncontrolled prices, of which the government took its usual lion's share. The angle in this place was astronomy. The ceiling was a blue haze, a glitter with slowly wheeling constellations, and the strippers began with make-believe spacesuits. There were some rather good murals on the walls depicting various stages of the conquest of space. Lancaster was amused at one of them. When he'd been here 3 years ago, the first landing on Ganymede had shown a group of men unfurling a German flag. It had stuck in his mind, because he happened to know that the first exposition there had actually been Russian. And that was all right then, seeing that Germany was an ally at the time. But now that Europe was growing increasingly cold to the idea of an American-dominated world, the Ganymedean pioneers were holding a good safe Stars and Stripes. Oh well, you had to keep the masses happy. They couldn't see that their sacrifices and the occasional short wars were necessary to prevent another real smash-up like the one 75 years ago. Lancaster's annoyance was directed at the sullen foreign powers and the traitors within his own land. It was because of them that science had to be straitjacketed by security regulations. The head waiter bowed before him. "I'm looking for a friend," said Lancaster. "A Mr. Berg."
"Yes, sir. This way, please."
Lancaster slouched after him. He'd worn the dress uniform of a project officer, but he felt that all eyes were on its deplorable sloppiness. The head waiter conducted him between tables of half-crocked customers, burly black-uniformed space guardsmen, army and air officers, richly clad industrialists and union bosses, civilian leaders, their wives and mistresses. The waiters were all Martian slaves, he noticed, their phosphorescent owl eyes smoldering in the dim blue light. He was ushered into a curtained booth. There was an auto dispenser, so that those using it need not be interrupted by servants, and an ultrasonic globe on the table was already vibrating to soundproof the region. Lancaster's gaze went to the man sitting there. In spite of being short, he was broad-shouldered and compact in plain gray evening pajamas. His face was round and freckled, almost cherubic, under a shock of sandy hair. But there were merry little devils in his eyes.
"Good evening, Dr. Lancaster," he said. "Please, sit down. What do you have?"
"Thanks. I'll have scotch and soda."
"Might as well make this expensive if the government were footing the bill. And if this Berg thought him un-American for drinking an imported beverage, what of it?"
The scientist lowered himself into the seat opposite his host.
"I'm having the same, as a matter of fact," said Berg mildly. He twirled the dial and slipped a couple of $5 coins into the dispenser slot. When the tray was ejected, he sipped his drink appreciatively and looked across the rim of the glass at the other man.
"You're a high-ranking physicist on the Arizona Project, aren't you, Dr. Lancaster?" he asked. That much was safe to admit. Lancaster nodded.
"What is your work, precisely?"
"You know I can't tell you anything like that."
"It's all right. Here are my credentials."
Berg extended a wallet. Lancaster scanned the cards and handed them back.
"Okay, so you're in security," he said. "I still can't tell you anything, not without proper clearance."
Berg chuckled amiably.
"Good. I'm glad to see you're discreet. Too many labmen don't understand the necessity of secrecy, even between different branches of the same organization." With a sudden whip-like sharpness, "You didn't tell anyone about this meeting, did you?"
"No, of course not." Despite himself, Lancaster was rattled.
"That is, a friend asked if I'd care to go out with her tonight, but I said I was meeting someone else."
"That's right." Berg relaxed, smiling. "All right. We may as well get down to business. You're getting quite an honor, Dr. Lancaster. You've been tapped for one of the most important jobs in the solar system."
"Eh?" Lancaster's eyes widened behind the contact lenses. "But no one else has informed me."
"No one of your acquaintance knows of this, nor shall they. But tell me, you've done work on dielectrics, haven't you?"
"Yes, it's been a sort of specialty of mine. In fact, I wrote my thesis on the theory of dielectric polarization, and since then..."
"No, that's classified."
"Mm-hmm." Berg took another sip of his drink.
"And right now you're just a cog in a computer development project. You see, I do know a few things about you. However, we've decided, higher up, you know, in fact, on the very top level, to take you off it for the time being and put you on this other job, one concerning your specialty. Furthermore, you won't be part of a great organizational machine, but very much on your own. The fewer who know of this, the better."
Lancaster wasn't sure he liked that. Once the job was done, if he were possessed of all information on it, he might be incarcerated or even shot as a security risk. Things like that had happened. But there wasn't much he could do about it.
"Have no fears." Berg seemed to read his thoughts. "Your reward may be a little delayed for security reasons, but it will come in due time." He leaned forward earnestly.
"I repeat, this project is top secret. It's a vital link in something much bigger than you can imagine, and few men below the president even know of it. Therefore, the very fact that you've worked on it, that you've done any outside work at all, must remain unknown, even to the chiefs of your project."
"Good stunt if you can do it," shrugged Lancaster. "But I'm hot. Security keeps tabs on everything I do."
"This is how we'll work it. You have a furlough coming up in 2 weeks, don't you? A 3 months furlough? Where were you going?"
"I thought I'd visit the Southwest. Get in some mountain climbing, see the canyons and Indian ruins, and..."
"Yes, yes, very well. You'll get your ticket as usual, and a reservation at the Tycho Hotel in Phoenix. You'll go there, and on your first evening, retire early.
Alone, I need hardly add.
We'll be waiting for you in your room. There'll be a very carefully prepared duplicate. Surgical disguise, plastic fingerprinting tips, fully educated in your habits, tastes, and mannerisms. He'll stay behind and carry out your vacation while we smuggle you away. A similar exchange will be effected when you return. You'll be told exactly how your double spent the summer, and you'll resume your ordinary life.
Well, it was too sudden. Lancaster had to hedge.
But look, I'll supposedly be coming back from an outdoor vacation with a suntan and well rested. Somebody's going to be suspicious.
There'll be sun lamps where you're going, my friend, and I think the chance to work independently on something that really interests you will prove every bit as restful to your nerves as a summer's travel.
I know the scientific mentality, Berg chuckled. Yes, indeed.
End of part 1 of Security.